about that.
Not much of that left.
Yeah.
Did you tell them about the 150th coming up?
Told them the 150th is coming up. We're working on celebrations. I said one thing about small communities, we like to celebrate everything. And talked about our light parades coming up. And so she asked me, she said, what's your favorite food then at Scandinavia Festival? I said, well, I really like those traditional Swedish meatballs on a stick. And I thought the lady was going to fall off her chair laughing.
Oh, really?
Yes. Swedish meatballs on a stick? I said, yeah, fricadillers. Well, I've never heard of such a thing. Just burst out laughing.
Well, the name is kind of funny.
So, they don't move, they might come to festival.
Well, let's hope that they move here. We've got a lot of new subdivisions and stuff coming up.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll call the meeting to order, and if anyone else shows up, we can fill them in on what's been happening. And appreciate everyone being here and
You can see my smiling eyes, right?
Yeah. Our audience, we appreciate y'all showing up. And we have the minutes. I don't think we have to be formal about this. Does anyone see anything in the minutes that you felt like was wrong or misspoke or? We will move along. I did talk to Fire Chief Brandon from the fire department. They definitely want to be involved in this. He and I talked about things that they might do with their big hoses, and they have plenty of room there. And see how far you can make the pumpkin go with the fire hose, or anyway, they're going to think about it. And he said he would try to be here tonight.
As long as we're not out of water, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I told him as long as we don't get in trouble with the water. I mentioned that, and he laughed at me on that. But does anyone else have anything that they want to add before we move along to discussion?
Do you want any reports on follow-up?
Yes. That's what the next thing on the. I guess I didn't put out an agenda, did I? We can start right there with the Historical Society.
We had a board meeting and talked about this issue, and one of the things, the main thing we're preoccupied with is going to be trying to get the lead house at least to a position where the community knows what it's up against. So that will be, and I can go into that in a lot of detail, it's probably beyond the scope of this, but besides that, we talked about, as far as having things ready for next year, we talked about a cookbook, for covering the span of time from the, we get a recipe for the Kalapuya trail mix, on up through the pioneers, on up through the casseroles of the 1950s. We can attest to those in the coinware. And, just get a nice big cookbook together. And Steve McKinley is on our board, and he'll handle the formatting and printing end of that. I talked to him since our meeting. So it'd be a nice project. And somebody along the way came up with the idea of talking to Lockmead about doing a 150th anniversary ice cream, with packaging. So good ideas came up like that. Keep it simple. We'll probably put out some other publication kind of things, and once again kind of have a big emphasis on the Lee House.
Okay.
We've got the some really great engineers involved, and actually what I'm doing over the next couple weeks I haven't called you yet, but I'm taking everybody who's a member in good standing or a donor through the house and showing them what the engineer found and what we're going to be dealing with. We basically have about 45 years of alterations and improvements to the house that were done the good old way, you know, the good old fellas. So there's no engineering plans or blueprints or permits or anything. So a lot of it's going to have to be redone. So what we hope to do is get all that done right for once and spend the money to get the good engineering basis and get as-built drawings. Gary knows what I mean by that. So that we have a firm foundation to go forward with in the future.
Yes, I understand that some of the load-bearing walls upstairs were taken out. Putting anything in their place.
Yeah, connecting walls were taken out. You know, I don't know how far you want to get into this, but we'll be probably making a presentation to the council just so they know what's going on too. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, in the old days, it was kind of who you knew, and some of the people that were involved in the Historic Society were in the city government. In the reverse way, you know, I'm kind of a freak in that I try to always go by the rules, so it's put me in interesting positions over the years. But we did a permit search and, nothing from the time they bought the building to the present, other than I think maybe one electrical permit for the jail at the other museum, put a light in the jail.
Yeah.
And you have a building on the National Historic Register with no plans and no blueprints and,
make sure they reinforce that back porch for you.
What's that?
Make sure they reinforce that back porch for you. I got a safe you need. It's really heavy.
Oh, yeah. We've got the best engineering firm we can find, and so far we've talked them into doing everything for free. But we get to that point where it's not going to be free, so we're going to kind of tag on to the 150th and use it as a way to motivate people to get it done and get it done right. It's a beautiful facility, so. But when you search all the past presidents and their addresses and the addresses of the museums and the post office boxes the museums has had, and you don't find anything, then you just kind of have to start over. So we're going to have the engineers create plans. Those are called as-builts, where you analyze the building and determine how it's constructed. And at the same time, they're going to do a parallel investigation as to what's wrong. And that way, if it's like when you dig up the street, you know, to put in a sewer line, you try to do it all at the same time, so you're not digging it up twice. So they have to open up a wall to see how it's constructed or why it's failing. At the same time, they can draw us up plans so that once we have those blueprints, anything we do in the future, you know, anyone does in the future, they'll have a solid basis to do it legally. And all that complies with federal law on historic properties and state law. So that's our big preoccupation, is getting all that
done.
Done right.
Do they have any ideas what the Historical Society would like to do other than hopefully opening up both of the museums?
Kind of go back over, update some walking tours and have some activities that people can self-guide, and putting out some publications and things like that. Okay. We put out something every week for the last couple of years, so we may compile that, you know, into a book, that type of stuff.
Yeah. The cookbook is a I think it's a great idea.
The cookbook had the most enthusiasm, you know, raising the money to pay the engineers was important, but the cookbook had a lot more enthusiasm.
Yeah. That kind of was that thing. And is that?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was the, well, that's, that slops over into the chamber as far as the article.
What about the chamber?
Okay, I was able to sit down and chat a little bit with Edie Morrow about doing some articles and in the newspaper of the history of the city. And she met with Pam, and Pam isn't excited about doing like weekly articles or anything like that. A lot of it is because they have a shortage of writers.
Yeah.
And so, but she did commit to, prior to the event, doing a 4-page spread in the newspaper on the history and events that would be going on. And Edie's still going to talk with her a little bit to see if maybe we can do some sporadic articles. And we'll set up a timeline and see if something can be done that way to, first of all, teach the residents what their history is in the community and, you know, the reason for the celebration and try to get everybody kind of primed to get out and enjoy that time as we celebrate the 150th birthday of the community. So we'll keep working on that and working on the publicity angle to make sure that folks know, you know, we've got a history and what it's all about. So in regard to the history, it's always dangerous when you have a few minutes to think. And so I got to thinking, how could the chamber itself kind of get a little bit more involved and do something on the history of the chamber? The chamber has been here since 1955, so it's 66 years old, I guess, at this point. And I kind of went through, we have a list of all of the previous board presidents. We have the original minutes of when it was incorporated. So we have a lot of the historical files. We also have the minutes of where the chamber board agreed to fund the first Scandinavian festival. So there's a lot of things that chamber history and community history kind of would cross. So we're going to be getting, we think, a social media intern, and I'm kind of thinking that might be an assignment I give that intern, is looking at history and crossing paths between the chamber and the community, so we can kind of put that information out. And then if we decide to do a parade, I'm going to put the onus on the board to see if they can convince as many previous board presidents as possible to come and maybe ride on a float or something of the chamber for the chamber parade. And just as the chamber is, as with every organization, a part of the history of the community. So as I've read through the minutes, there have been some interesting decisions that some chamber presidents have made that do impact the community. So let's get them on a float and maybe throw apples at them or something. But just kind of so we would be part of that. And as we progress and start looking at things that the committee would like to see done, then I can start approaching my chamber board as well to try to get them involved to either assist or to participate in whatever activities. So we're moving in that direction.
So there was the chamber board. I think most of the local organizations are members.
Most, a lot of them.
Yeah, like Sir Optimus Alliance. Have you talked to any of them about having something for their organization that they would do, or is that something that one of us needs to?
I haven't. It'll be easy for me to do, because we can, you know, email or put it out in one of our email blasts. But I really didn't want to do anything of that nature until we were sure what we were going to do and what direction we were going to pursue.
Okay.
So once we finalize some of our decisions, then I can go out and start getting that interest built.
Okay. Having the previous chamber presence in the parade, I think it'd be nice to have the previous mayors in there too.
There you go.
Anything to do with the history,
mm-hmm,
would be great. Maybe the Scandinavian Festival would like to have some of their past presidents and stuff. Also, you know, like I say, Lions, whatever, Sir Optimus, because could be to get more people in the parade that, yeah, that Andrew suggested, which I thought was a great idea, so. Okay, so we'll talk to you more about that. Andrea?
So I was just gonna keep hitting on the parade, because I'm kind of pumped about that. I think if we start getting the word out so that people can start thinking about it, get their teams together of what they want to do, I don't know if we should break it down into categories to be, we have a group of people, or we say it has to be on these three or these five things, you know, the farming, the railroad, Scandinavian, some other stuff. And that's what people can be like, oh, okay, you know, well, hey, we're a bunch of farmers that have been here, you know, four or five generations, so maybe that's what they'll focus on. Or some other people will be like, hey, it'd be fun to do the railroad. Of course, we're going to have everybody know about the Scandinavian part of it, so just to come up with floats, get people interested. I think, like, getting the word out now and staying with it, keep mentioning it at our council meetings and some of our other, community or committee meetings and stuff too, in case people are listening, in case we have an audience, because we've got more here than I did at my committee meetings. just keep the word out. And so I was also gonna see what you thought, Gary, of if we could get like a banner at each end of town. Can we do anything that goes over Ivy?
We can talk with ODOT about that when they're at your meeting.
Yes, okay.
It's pretty tricky to get them to do it, but we can talk to them.
Okay.
All he can say is no.
Yeah, right. I was just gonna say.
But yeah, we can get some banners up saying, 150th celebration coming, on our dates that we pick, which I can't remember right now, end of September.
I was going to say the end of September, I think is what we came up with. I don't remember right now. September.
The only thing that you two might want to think about is how we're going to fund that.
Oh.
The banners? Okay.
Yeah.
Because
that's going to be a council decision how they want to fund that.
Okay.
Unless somebody out here is volunteering to pay for them, like Cindy Montgomery or somebody like that.
Yeah, if we can get ask our business owners to come up with some money. I don't know. But anyway, I think, depending on what that might cost, also.
Well, we might be able to get the sign company down here to do something. You never know.
Yeah. I was going to say, add to the signs that the Scandinavian Festival, those areas coming in town, both north and south.
Yeah.
Maybe get, if we can't get a banner, at least get some sort of a sign up there that, that about this happening, so people see it, hopefully.
You might touch base with Jeff Kern. Mm-hmm. He's the one that runs Energizing Junction City and gets all those banners. Mm-hmm. He might have an in with ODOT about getting stuff up. I don't know.
I was going to ask if you want to rattle his cage about doing the light pole banners that they do for other things and do a set of those. You'd have to fund that, to the council as well. But they've got the in with that, whatever company they use, and you could make him put them up, because that's what he usually does.
I've got some connections with some ODOT people too that I'm friends with. If they can't do it, maybe they could guide me to who to talk to
That's the trickiest thing with ODOT, is figuring out who you're supposed to talk to about it. But I think Jenna could help with that.
Yeah.
So, and then, if one of you guys wanted to reach out to Jeff about doing those banners,
who would like to volunteer to do that?
What's that?
Who would like to volunteer to do that, to reach out to Jeff?
Somewhere in that half of the room, even the audience.
I'm slammed busy with my other job, so I can't guarantee, I'm sitting here expecting a phone call any minute from police that are out on one of my cases. So that's how my days go.
Okay.
So
I will do that. I just gotta find somebody who has his phone number.
Or if you want to shovel that off on me, Jeff and I get along, so
okay, all right.
I can call him.
I will shovel anytime I can.
I would think they're a vast organization, they're always enthusiastic about doing stuff like that, so they do the daffodil banners and do they even do the Scandinavian ones?
They do the Scandinavian, well, I know they put them up, but I'm, oh, Scandinavian page.
I don't know who paid for them, that might have been part of the grant money they got from the city at one point. The problem with the 150th is they're kind of a throwaway banner.
Right.
I mean, they're one-time use and.
Right.
So I wouldn't spend a lot of money on them, I'd spend a little bit of money on them maybe to get them up, but. Or maybe not do all of them as the 150th, just stagger them through town. But I think if we could get ODOT to do a banner across.
Or what we could do is not put like Junction City on it. And then after the 150th, we can find what towns come up next for theirs and offer a deal.
Yeah, we'll sell it to you cheap.
Well, you can also get individual sponsors that their name printed like they do in Harrisburg.
I know that Cindy's offered to do that with Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Holiday stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get a sponsor.
So, I mean, it's possible that if somebody wanted to head that up to talk with those people, that they might want to do it and have their name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of businesses who would like to leave the impression of people that they've been in business for 150 years. And that's all you gotta do is put your name on it.
Yeah, without saying that, without telling.
I mean, Lockmead's been here since 65 with the dairy and 45 with the farm, but hey, if it's on the banner.
Yeah.
It's good marketing.
Good thinking.
But yeah, I think if we get the word out for, like, get a form to submit for your float, like, you know, we could come up with a form, something simple and easy. Maybe have, you know, some guidelines of, you know, keep it the history. Just something simple and people can submit those. That way we have a good idea of how many and, you know, we have contacts where we can maybe, as it gets closer, start inviting some of those people to some of our meetings as well. And I don't know, just that might help. But anything to kind of bring the crowd in.
Yeah, I like that idea to try and get some of the history and that type thing in. But I know, like, the Harrisburg 4th of July, you know, you just come no matter what it is and line up. So I hate to cut out people who just like the maybe the floats from the noise parade from the high school that wouldn't actually be in any of the categories that we might come up with. Maybe have at the end of the parade anybody who, you know, if they have an old car or whatever, but have the other things and have maybe a miscellaneous category.
Yeah, that's a good idea for just the specific stuff for the history, and then just a whatever is, I think, a good idea too. That way people, you know, if there's something that means something to them or whatever that they can bring, that would, I think that would be a good idea.
I think they're all good ideas, and I think, to try and especially like the farming, which is you know, really big, of course, 150 years ago. Maybe one of the women's group around here can march as the temperance group from the turn of the century or something.
That's a
which
good
we
idea.
Had the ladies of the that, you know, cleaned up the town.
And forgive me if I digress, you know, redirect me, but I do go into detail, as you know. We're working on some history people really aren't aware of, but the town went dry in the early 1900s, and the women's groups had a big thing to do with that. And it had a lot, you know, it wasn't a real friendly kind of environment to be a railroad headquarters, you know, so it probably contributed to them moving to Eugene, but the town was dry way before Prohibition. It's like 1904 or something. And just like today, people had to go to Harrisburg to get certain things. So the women's groups were really, really big around that time. You know, in Oregon, women had to vote in Oregon before they did federally. So there's a lot of, you know, just that whole theme of women's history early on, it could be a big deal.
That could be one of the groups, the categories that...
Yeah, or, you know, it could draw sponsoring groups, like, I know all the Sure Optimists aren't necessarily anti-alcohol, just from experience, but...
Being a member, I can tell you, though.
Can you attest to that? But that'd make it even funnier, if they went to march as temperance, you know. The temperance marchers were, the suffragettes were for the vote, and the temperance league was to ban alcohol, so. Some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Real quick, before I forget, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're totally done.
I was just enjoying it.
While I was thinking of it, for the parade, and since there's nobody here from the school district, still maybe trying to reach out to them to see if, like, the band or something can somehow be a part of it to, you know, because they carry big banner signs and stuff, too. And then the band usually is behind them. You doing something?
I did talk to the superintendent. He was going to try and have someone here this evening represent the schools, but I will get back in touch with him again. And like I say, the fire department the same way. Mm-hmm. I will touch base with them. Is there any group that y'all can think of that we are overall group that we are leaving out?
What about the Moose Lodge?
Okay, that was they belong to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the Moose and the Lions and the Sure Optimists. I was thinking more to do that through the, but if you think that they need a personal?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, but the Moose Lodge, you know, they're getting so involved and they do so much, like the community dinners for the holidays and things like that. They want to be really involved, I think, even more intimately within the community. And so that might be, maybe they're the group to coordinate the groups.
To do what?
To coordinate all of the organizations.
Oh, that would be, can I foster to put that on you to contact them?
They owe me.
And they could do all of the, like say, the Sure Optimists and the Lions and, you know, anyone else. And
the
then
parade,
I also,
right?
I didn't see
Gordon. You're talking about the parade?
Parade, yeah.
That Gordon maybe couldn't make it tonight, so we'll have to get back to this. With him, since he's representing the churches, and see if there's been any discussions about what they might want to contribute or what they might want to do.
Is the chamber volunteering to coordinate the parade, or do we have a sponsoring group yet to push it?
The parade?
Yeah.
I guess it's, I was just thinking this group would be the ones to...
Well, you know, that's a lot of coordinating and time, so if you have a sponsoring group, once this group or you, Andrea, set the parameters of what you want, if you can get a group to buy off on that plan, then you can just fly air cover over that with your busy schedule, and they do the... It's like there's a group for the function, you know.
Yeah.
So you've got the people at the barricades. So it's not us.
Yeah.
We're all too busy, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if you get it set how you want it or how we want
it
or whatever.
So is that something you think the Moose might take over?
I don't know, we could talk to them. I'm trying to think that time of year I don't know that they have a whole lot going on, so it might be an opportunity for them to, you know, if not do it, at least to maybe work as a subgroup under Andrea's.
And I guess we'd have to figure out too, like what would we want to do for the parade route? Would we want to do like what they do downtown here, or would we want to do IV like they do for the cruise, like a one time through? Because that would take a little more.
It's going to take another dock closure permit.
Yeah, it's going to say the state has to get into it any time that we cross the highway, and so we have to get their permission. Which is far enough ahead. It's just that was another thing on my agenda for tonight. What y'all wanted to do as far as a parade? How far do you want it to go? Do you?
Well, Yeah, the other thing is if you go on the highway, you have to post signs for several months. You have to have, it's a lot.
So if we just cross the highway, how much?
No, you do that.
We crossed that, we crossed 99 up here on 6th. And basically, we just have to have police posted, and we can't actually keep it closed for the full parade. We have to allow some traffic to get through, and then, so it's kind of a, let some through, stop, let the parade go, and then, you know, kind of alternate that way. And it works out slip.
So like the Norris Parade, the Christmas Light Parade, that it would be the same route where you go or, and then turn and then come back?
Yeah, the Light Parade route, we stage up at the high school, and then we come down 6th to Greenwood, then Greenwood to 9th, and that's technically the breakaway point. And then we allow them to go back up 10th. And of course, we can't cross, we have them obey all traffic signals, go up to Maple and back if they have to get back to the high school.
Yeah.
So we have that return route.
Yeah, I know in the past, you've had ones where they go by, because they go by our house, and then come down, and then turn around and come back. But that's not possible. I guess they go around and then go back to 6th and go back to the high school.
Yeah, we had thought at one point of coming back around to 10th and then Ivy and then back up. But then you get into the, we have to close Ivy down period to do
I'm trying
that.
To think about a route where you only have to close the one intersection.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to close it as they go, and then when if they came back, you'd have to close it again, but it'd only be that one intersection.
The
problem, with the state.
we were going to do that, but even before we started crossing 6th, we would start at Front and go down to 4th, come up to Greenwood, Greenwood to 9th, 9th to Holly, over Holly, and then come back down 6th, and the parade was crossing itself. It was too long, and so the fear is that we would start crossing ourselves again.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has a potential of being our biggest parade, so mm-hmm. I think you have to think in terms of a long parade.
I think if you staged at the high school and did it just like the light parade, mm-hmm. you're going to get the best bang for your buck.
You're going to have to stage down there, because you've got them, and you've got St.
Helens. You get the longest street in town that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can stage, and the high school will probably let us use their parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so the we would stage at the high school like they always do, and then come down. And how far do you go down?
Just to Greenwood, right?
Because I always sit on my front porch.
Yeah. Just to Greenwood, and
then
go
to Greenwood and 9th. If you wanted a wider road, you could do Front, but
yeah, just you know, if it becomes
Front, not
mm-hmm. yeah, Front.
Well, we choose not to do Front because it's dark. You know, we do the light parade, so. That's why we chose Greenwood, is because there are some lights, or it's more lit and safer for the pedestrians.
This a daytime parade or nighttime?
But it's
this would be in the afternoon, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because if it's daytime, that's a different deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We talked about that Saturday afternoon, right?
We're
and
good.
Then have something that night, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you go Front, the only business you really affect is BMI.
So. How do the rest of y'all feel about staging at the high school and coming down 6th to Front and then around and then, I guess, back? Or are we going to end it?
I would disperse it somewhere here.
So you
have to close the highway again.
What about we'd have to go over the railroad tracks and you don't know whether a train might come?
No,
so
you know,
it's a lot of fun working with the railroads also. We're doing that in Harrisburg on that parade.
Yeah.
Would it be something if something possible, and again, it's all depending on the size of the parade, and if the city doesn't mind closing the streets for a little bit extended period, but bring the parade down 6th, Front, come back up, and then just start staging the floats, coming back and start staging on 7th here, and as everybody kind of stops and we get everything stopped, then maybe the mayor and city council do something over in the lot here as a proclamation allowing the community to come down, that would give them an opportunity to go and actually see the floats for an extended period of time.
Have them stop and,
You know, maybe do a proclamation, maybe you have a, an essay writing contest for the kids and have the winner read their essay about the history of Junction City. But that would then, I think, allow the parade, instead like ours, it's 30 minutes and it's pretty done. But it allows it, I think, a longer period of time for the citizens to have the opportunity to explore the floats, explore the history, and maybe have a little bit more opportunity to enjoy the day. But that would mean keeping the streets closed longer.
The only thing I would be worried about with that is how it would affect BNI, because they're on the corner and they really don't have any other way. And then what if we ended up with 50 floats? We're not going to have room for...
See, that's, it depends on the size.
Yeah. If, you know, people had like trailers and, you know, hauling trailers and stuff, would we have to shut down multiple streets and would we then end up into some neighborhoods? That's what I would be worried about. But if we only have 20 floats, it wouldn't be I think is a big concern.
Yeah, unless you do a pre-registration and cut it off early, you know, it's because we get a lot of people that just come the night of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so you.
Yeah, I hate to do that. How involved is it to get I know we do it for the old cars.
Mm-hmm.
How involved would it be to close down 6 for that? Because it's only every 150 years we'd be doing this.
I just need a letter from this committee to take to that committee to go to council. We do it just like any other street closure request.
Okay. So how do y'all feel about doing that? And that way we...
I think Andrew brings up a good point, though. I think if we are going to do something like that, maybe we should talk to the businesses to make sure they're okay with it.
That's what the festival has. The festival has to do that.
Right.
We make them go around and talk to all the businesses.
Okay, so that would be the businesses. We close down, so we're talking... what route are we talking about exactly? So we know how many businesses.
Well, you'd be whatever's on 6.
And it's run out of ink.
So. B and I would be on Front.
Well, any of the businesses along here, and then down around the corner. But then if we come back up Ivy, it'd be everybody on Ivy, right?
Yeah, but you can't.
I think you want to avoid Ivy.
You want to avoid Ivy,
okay.
And you'd have to avoid Holly too because of the tracks.
Okay. And then you have to work with the railroad in case if there's a train. Then,
if it's during the day, which it would be, then you'd have to notify the railroad.
The other
there.
Thing would be to start at the high school and actually go down the highway. You know, and then end up maybe even turn down by Safeway and leave the railroads out of it, the trains out, so we didn't have to worry about the trains.
But then you're dealing with ODOT.
You're dealing with ODOT. Closing that highway is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of signage and it's a lot of cost.
And we're not going to cross the tracks, the fast tracks. We're not going to cross that. It would just be the slow tracks, which is...
Just crossing it, there wouldn't be anything that you'd have to do.
Right.
And I guess if a train happened to come... I mean, we could notify them, of course, but
yeah,
they're on schedule too, and their schedules don't always work.
Yeah.
But
they, they allow for it with, and I don't think they really do much at night, but they do stuff on Saturdays, don't they, the slow trucks?
Sometimes.
We'd have to find out from them, but as just a courtesy to let them know, even if they don't have anything, as a courtesy, I think it would be good. We should do that. Yeah.
The only other thing we could do would be to have the parade on Sunday afternoon after church. And that way we wouldn't be running into so much businesses. But
you'd still be dealing with BNI.
Yeah.
You'd still be dealing with everybody but a bank.
Okay. So start at the high school and come down Front. That's what we're, I think, what is How does everyone else feel about that?
Well, I hate to be a party pooper, but I think your biggest threat here is success. I think there's a lot of potential for getting more floats than we've ever had before. And I think all of your routes that we've talked about fail under that scenario. So I'd rather have all the possibilities out on the table. That's me. But
okay, saying we did a lot of floats, what kind of route are we?
Well, it does bring up the possibility of a reverse parade, where you have Rick's idea at the high school,
stage
the
mall.
Anybody with a big parking lot, there's parade, there's floats or displays or whatever, and you have the people that want to see it do the moving around. That's a reverse parade that got invented during the pandemic.
Well, they do that for Mardi Gras. I mean, they actually have the parades to it. I mean that, but before and after, you go to the different crews and you can tour any of the floats either before or after.
Yeah, you can have reenactments. You can have people doing a little play or your musical groups and stuff. And gas may be pretty high by next year. It's just a thought. I can just see too many floats for these routes. I mean, I've worked with a pet parade and some of these other parades, and it's always
if we don't get so many floats, we might get a lot of, like they do at Harrisburg, people just assume they can come and get in, you know, under the miscellaneous.
Well, another thing we could do, like what Bill was saying, something at the high school, where everybody goes to that instead of, and then we don't have to shut down anything. But we do have a cutoff period. You have to have it submitted, and there's a cutoff, and maybe we have somebody check in, like a registration thing there. And then that might be where we could have food trucks come and kind of just make it a reason to stay and hang out.
Sixth Street's wide enough that you could park on each side of it and never close that road, but have sidewalk access to everything.
So just have them all along.
You would never have to close the road.
Just it could be shaped like
you just
parade,
put no parking out on this day from here to here.
And
just make everybody that normally parks on Sixth Street park somewhere else.
That's like a street fair where it looks like a parade. Yeah. It goes down the whole length of the street with floats or food trucks or stationary, but it doesn't move.
Right.
Yeah, the people moved it.
Yeah.
So then, have the floats on 6th Street, or it's what we're saying, and then maybe the high school could be where that we have, if farmers want to bring in some of their equipment, or if somebody wants to show off some old cars, or the high school band wants to play.
The one thing I'd be worried about having the floats on 6th Street is all the pedestrian traffic with traffic still going down 6th.
Yeah.
I'd rather people park on 6th.
Close it.
Oh, close 6th?
Yeah, close it.
I see. Okay.
Because it's the city.
Just close it at both ends and then there's no traffic. So people can move freely in and off the street.
Yeah, the people could walk in the street.
So almost make it a street fair.
Yeah.
Instead of having the festival on this side, you have it on that side.
Gotcha.
And the reason why I was thinking about having the floats, and that there'd still be enough room in the center for people to walk and see it. And then anything that's not an actual float could be at the high school in the parking lot, hopefully. They would let us do that.
Or St. Helens has a big
I was going to say, there's two churches down there, right across from the high school.
I knew there had to be something good about our geography for this, but
that
sixth thing is the key.
It's an easy street closure.
That's
you don't really affect anybody, because anybody that lives on 6th Street can get there from 7th or 5th.
Yeah. Well, you've got the alleyways you can come in that way. So
history break. 6th Street is so wide because it was Pacific Highway at one time.
Yeah.
In the very olden days before Highway 99 cut through town, the way between Tijuana and Vancouver, British Columbia went down 6th Street this way through Junction City. Seriously.
That's part of the reason why the picture in our house says something about the 1,000
Wonders. The Road of the 1,000 Wonders. You were on that.
Yes.
On that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the, that was I-5, went this way through Junction City.
And it was part of the Applegate Trail too.
Yeah, it came up, the main road came up River Road, where you see those really old kind of barn signs, you know, for the Lithia Hotel.
How do you feel about?
Came up Birch is that wide, because that was Pacific Highway, and then to six, sorry.
I know, no, I'd forgotten about that, like saying that part of the Applegate, so, which goes back even further, so. How did you feel about that plan?
I think that's a great idea, but instead of closing six, what about closing it from Maple to, is it Timothy? So that, you know, just where the, basically the school is.
You can close it wherever you want.
I think, yeah.
It's gonna depend on what you get for applicants or floats or whatever.
I was gonna say, if we get a lot of floats.
And then it also depends on if you can get the high school or the churches to let use their parking lot, because that takes a lot of real estate, you know.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch there to use.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I think that would be probably easier. It would be a place for people to go, people to hang out.
Yeah.
Check stuff out.
Well, and hopefully we'll see whether, okay, it looks like we're gonna have to go all the way to Ivy, without, of course, including Ivy, because we've got, you know, all these organizations or churches or schools or whatever that are doing a float. I guess, go out, start, like say, trying to get the word out and get the publicity out so that we can get some idea of participation in it, so. But I do like that idea, so we don't have to worry about trying to get something. We don't have to worry about the railroads.
No,
we don't have to worry about, you know, Highway 99, so.
And everything else, the city can just function as normal.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I was wondering if
Does our audience have any comments or suggestions?
I heard Tara volunteered to head it up.
I thought that's what I heard too. I second.
No, do y'all, seriously, do y'all have something that, any ideas you want to share with us?
No, at this time I don't see anything that's popping into my head.
Well, think about it for next time if you, you know, if y'all decide to come. You say, this is supposed to be not, I think we all agreed, non-commercial, and not that somebody can't, you know, one of the churches wants to do a dinner or whatever, gonna make some money off of it, I don't mean that, but it's gonna be Junction City, it's not, you know.
I think once you have a stable, I think that street fair parade or figure out whatever you wanna call it, using that 6th Street idea is a super good.
Corvallis does one like it where they close, I think it's 2 streets they close. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of it's more like the festival where vendors come in with jewelry and stuff like that, but it's the same concept where they just close 2 streets, that's it, nobody else gets closed.
So if we get, of course, the 2 churches and the school to sign off on it, how do we, I guess we would have to go to the homeowners. If we see it's gonna be a lot of floats, we may have to go all the way to Oaklea on 6. And so
we just close Timothy at 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make them go all high pass.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you do, Bev. When you close the street, you're pissing somebody off.
Oh,
they gotta go a block out of their way. They are not happy.
True. Right. But that would give us a lot of room, really, for a lot of things. So
yeah, 6th Street's super wide.
Yeah.
If your definition is non-commercial in the sense that you're limiting your floats and displays or whatever to something that's from or to do in Junction City, or you may extend it out into the area, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Then I think you've got pretty much unlimited capacity. If you have outside vendors coming in, you know.
Yeah, no, we're not there.
You know, I mean, if that's the commercialization line you're drawing.
Well, I can tell you, if you want people to go to that area, Andrea's idea of having food trucks down there, mm-hmm.
is a fabulous idea, because where there's food, there's people.
Yeah, so you gotta figure out what food trucks you define as part of your program, you know, maybe there are ones that are already here. Hopefully there will be some now that you've figured out the rules.
Well, I think, I was thinking about them not on the street, but in one of the parking lots.
Yeah, but again, you're gonna have to define that dividing line as to what's local and what's commercial.
Yeah, that's something we'll have to, I think I'll go home after tonight and think about as to what we wanted, unless someone has ideas they want to contribute to.
Well, you could have, just like the Scandinavian Festival, you could have local organizations do food as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something the churches, I know, several of them still do, you know.
Well, can they bring out their booth if they don't wanna build a whole separate float? I mean, can they bring out their festival booth? You can think about that too.
Yeah.
Is that part of the 150 years of Joshua City? I would say yes.
I would say yes.
Yeah, I would think that would be part of it, and the churches definitely.
The Grange has one.
Yeah, and the Grange, it, yeah, that's a, yeah.
And I think, you know, like if there's, you know, we get the fire department to, you know, just to keep people, get people out and then kinda keep people and make it an event. You know, if the fire department has their trucks out there and kids can play, you know, use the hoses here and there with water.
You can basically do like a truck day where Public Works takes some trucks, their backhoe, their excavator, the fire department takes their stuff, the police department takes their stuff.
Touch a truck.
Touch a truck. And I mean, they're not gonna hurt my excavator. They can climb up and push all the buds they want, I ain't gonna go nowhere.
Have you met my kid?
Yeah.
So.
They'll find a way to get it running without the key.
They can climb up in a really nice excavator, I've got one so far. Nobody's ripped anything yet, so.
Reword it.
I think that part of it, we had talked about extending it, you know, making it a week-long celebration. And we don't wanna interfere with the businesses during the, you know, day, Monday through Friday. And if there's a football game, you wanna, you know, make sure everyone knows, let's go and support the Tigers, you know. But what about Monday through Thursday? What do y'all have any ideas about what we can do at night there that is like celebrating the birthday?
Oh, that's your pumpkin contest and pumpkin show and pumpkin queen.
Okay.
You know?
Are we gonna have a pumpkin queen?
I think you're gonna have to vet the rules really carefully with the city attorney.
Yeah.
Keep yourself out of trouble these days.
Even if it wasn't
that's
a
as far as I'll go.
Well, yeah. You could do the touch a truck on one of those weeknights at our lot. I've got all the lighting we'd need to do that. Even if it got dark, it wouldn't be a big deal.
That's a good idea to do for one night.
I'm sure Sandy could help coordinate sesquicentennial burgers with Bob, right?
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, that night with touch a truck.
Yeah.
That could be something, you know.
Not touch an officer, but, you know, maybe something.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've got all the lighting down the backside. We've got all the lighting from the water plant, which we could open and tour if people wanted to do that.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the big lot by the water tower that we could do Public Works, Fire Department, and Police pretty easy.
Yeah.
If a couple local farmers wanted to bring a tractor or something, I'm sure we could fit it in somewhere. But I've got three portable lights too where I can light it up. So we have all the lighting there, then I can put three portable lights up and we can light the whole area up. Be pretty easy.
So what about the other nights? Does anybody have any ideas?
Even if we didn't do it the entire week, like just maybe a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or I think if the churches wanted to do something on Sunday, I know Gordon's not here. I'm not 100% on this, but I'm not sure if there might be some health stuff going on with Gordon. I think there is.
Okay.
We might want to reach out to Dave Kaufman, who is kind of taking in the Gordon's place right now, and maybe see if in Gordon's absence, if Dave might be able to kind of step in for him. And
I'd like to say definitely, because the church is a big part of.
Yeah, he was real enthusiastic
for 150 years. So, yeah, we definitely want And it would be nice to have them one, maybe Wednesday night, since that's the night a lot of the churches, you know, meet anyway. Talk to them about that, and like I say, don't want to interfere either with that, with something. So, but what about the other? I really like the idea, because it was your suggestion, and I think it was a good one, to do it, make it a week, you know, Monday through Sunday. And,
is your street fair 2 days or 1 day?
I was thinking one.
I think 1 day would be.
We could also do a buy local, stay local, shop local, eat out local, like, you know, we could do that too to support, you know, local businesses.
You could do that on Friday night, just to shop local, you know, eat out local.
It's just gonna depend on how many events that you have, people that volunteer to do something.
Right, you have to get groups to sponsor these things.
Yeah.
We can't do it.
I could see the businesses, you know, being open, you know, late, say until 9 o'clock. And it doesn't have to be just six, it could be businesses state, you know, citywide.
Yeah.
Have one evening of being open, and that would be one evening to, you know.
And this is the second weekend in September, basically?
Yes.
17th, 18th?
Yeah.
Is that what you?
That was what we tentatively decided upon.
The only thing I'd be worried about is football game that Saturday, because don't they start football right off the bat?
Yeah, but that's usually Friday night.
Well, Oregon or Oregon State, is that what you're
talking about?
Oh, no, the high school.
They'll play on Friday.
They play on Friday night.
Yeah, with the university, you just want to make sure it's not the mother of all football games where they're playing something incredible.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something.
Well, by that middle of September, they'll be playing Pac-12.
But you could have a tent where the addicts can watch it while everybody else is.
Screens up.
Big screen in the gym at the high school.
Well, like I say, anytime, any weekend we pick is gonna, there's gonna be some conflict, whether it's, you know, an OSU game or a U of O game or whatever, so, yeah. There is such a thing as taping your games, and you can watch it later. I know, that's not the same. And if you've got tickets, of course, you don't want to do that, so.
No, people are getting priced out of going, so if you had a place where they can watch in comfort even, and, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I'll reach out to Dave Kaufman and to see if, for whatever our next meeting is, if he'll be available to come, just in case Gordon's not.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
So we wanted to do the touch a truck thing. I could organize that for the 15th of September, which is Thursday.
Okay, Thursday the 15th. Okay.
Looking at my calendar that far out right now, I don't have anything on it.
Okay, well, that's one good thing about
doing that. So, I mean, if that falls into place with everything else, if there's another organization that has to do something and they can only do it on Thursday, we can probably move, touch a truck around, whatever.
But I like that. Is that okay? We'll plan on that for Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we want to do on Monday? I think that's, because that would be the kickoff. So is that the night we'd like to ask all the businesses to be open and have the food trucks, you know, over here and you know, even the restaurants if they wanted to be open that night that aren't normally open at night?
I don't know, I think you're still gonna have groups that are gonna weigh in with things they want to do, maybe, you know, during that week.
Yeah.
I think we have time to decide.
I think when we get other people, like, when people reach out and we finally get some people to commit, then we can narrow these days down. Because like Andrea said, maybe we only have enough for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we have enough for a week. I don't, I mean, it's really hard to get people to volunteer.
Yeah.
As you all know.
Oh yes.
And it sounds good right now, but
I mean, look what we got to do for council. We got to go beg, borrow, and steal to get people to run. So
I know.
We had talked about Sunday encouraging people to go to church if they, you know, and then that afternoon having a citywide picnic And for the kids, have things like the three-legged race and some of the kind of old-fashioned things. How does anyone feel about that? That would get our weekend pretty much set, at least.
On what day?
Tentatively, on Sunday.
On Sunday?
Yeah. We'd have the reverse parade and all of that on
Street fair, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, street fair, whatever you want to call it, with maybe a dance or something that night. If we can work that, you know, out in the street. What do y'all think about Sunday to draw it to a close?
Well, you're going to have to let your churches weigh in heavily on that, but it sounded like from Gordon that they're real interested, and I have from Darren Olson, who's on my board.
But if you really want people to kind of go to those church things, have those church organizations do that three-legged race, do that kind of potluck type thing after their church session. Don't try and bring all those people somewhere else to do it.
Right.
Let them do it at their church.
Churches, okay. What about the people who don't go to church?
They're just going to have to find a church to go to, aren't they?
I think they'll be welcome.
I know what you two did, like, you know, that'd be a good time for, you know, where the church, that Sunday, the churches have like a open door to anybody, welcomes everybody, and then activity afterward at each church, whether they want to do the potluck, they want to have games, they want to have, because there's what, the three-legged race, there's the, where you toss the egg and then you take one step back, you toss the egg, that's always fun.
Dunk tank with the pastor.
Well, what I'm hearing is that we turn Sunday over to the churches.
I think that's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be more vetted in it, because it's on Sunday, they're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Point of pride. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Does anyone have an extra pen or pencil or something? I use to carry more than one in my purse.
There's some here.
Thank you. Sorry.
Back in the old days.
Do we have a date yet for the next meeting? Or we have not got there yet?
No, we haven't gotten that far yet. But, okay, so Sunday.
Well, your pumpkin activities could roll to Sunday, too. I mean,
although if you're serious about doing a pumpkin queen, it'd be better if you had that up front so that she could attend all of the functions as that royalty, so to speak.
Well, that's something we could do on Monday night, then.
There you go. Pageant.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that, then.
Yeah, it's a whole new field there. Something else people have talked about over the years, and this is consistent with what they did during the pumpkin festival here in the old days, was a baby parade.
Oh.
Baby day.
Yeah.
And that could be, that would be part of some of the weekend, I guess.
Yeah. Would not want to envy any judge
When Karen was a girl, they had a contest in Springfield every year at the Springfield Boiler Festival.
For the babies?
It's called for younger toddlers, and it's called Miss Slick Chick.
Yes, yes.
Believe it or not.
That's what I was thinking about.
You do that now, you'd be in jail.
Yeah.
Yep, you would.
Yeah,
we've got history of the old pumpkin festival and the baby day and baby contest kind of stuff. So.
Well, babies are just already either naturally super, super cute, or they're so kind of ugly as a baby that they're cute.
That's true.
I have no comment on that.
Ugly cute to them.
I can tell you that when the Opera House was right here across the alley, that we found clippings where they had an ugly man contest.
See, I think we'd have a lot of guys tie for first place on that.
Well, if their wives and girlfriends are voting, you know,
they
would nominate them and enter them.
Well, on Monday night we could too. We talked about, or at least a suggestion of, you know, a beard growing contest and some of the old things, and that could all be tied in with the beginning of it, which have the pageant with and maybe...
Yeah, the beard reward and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and maybe a style show. And do it, I don't know where, but if we do anything, it won't be where we affect the railroad or Ivy.
Can you get your money for the community center improvements? Can you get that all fixed up so you can have a grand opening any year?
I don't know.
Gary. Just do it all in-house, it's faster.
Ooh, yeah. Not really.
I was gonna say, Gary, what I think a lot of people would think is cool is being able to walk inside the water tower and...
Yeah, we can open that up for, like, during that touch of truck, we can open that up for a tour.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, because I think a lot of people, especially kids, think that that whole thing is full of water. And so if you open it, I thought it was, I think Jason showed me one time when I was working down there, he was like, that's not full of water. And I'm like, yeah,
it is. Only the ball.
And then he opened it up and he's like, no, it's not.
Oh, you get him in and then you just jerk the door.
2.5 million pounds of water sitting above you when you walk underneath it.
Yeah. And I think kids would think it was cool to stand under that or something, or see in there and see it, it's not full of water.
Yeah. You go play with Bob's radio.
And there's a lot of adults that would get a bang out of it. So, yeah.
I haven't had anybody when they've came to do a tour of our facility, even if they bashed the shit out of me on Facebook, I've had nobody disappointed when they came into the tour.
Yeah. So, no, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I said. When we do, if we do a touch of truck down there, we'll just open up the whole facility. And, I mean, we can do several different little tours, or we can do one big tour, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mind showing it off, honestly. Yeah. So.
Well, and then people get to see, like, what's you know, our public works employees, you know, what they do. Like,
well,
they
it's just like when Bev and Karen and Sandy came down, and I walked them through there and explained that we didn't contract any of that out. We built all that.
Which is... So impressive.
They don't, you know, they think, oh yeah, you guys just had that built. No, my staff actually built it, so.
Yeah.
And what's scary is I know who your staff is.
Yeah. It's crazy, huh? And it is still working.
I wish it wasn't a safety question, or not, I guess I told you, I climbed the old water tower 20 years ago. And that is, of the view is,
you can talk the fire department into going and getting you guys.
Oh, no, I just mean.
So whenever somebody
cool.
climbs with me, I make them go in front of me.
No.
That way I can get them down.
Oh,
right.
And they get about 40 feet off the ground and they're like.
Then they look down.
I'm done.
Oh,
they look down and it's all over you.
But if they're behind me, I can't get around them. So I make them go in front of me.
Anyway.
We can harness you up. I'm sure one of the fire department would love to climb right behind you.
I wasn't thinking you were going to climb it. So.
No, nobody was harnessed as a kid on that. That was tough to climb. You can see everything.
Yeah.
The new ones are easy. They're all inside.
Yeah, I was going to say they're inside. So. Yeah.
The rebar ladder gets to you after a while, but not too bad.
So, what I'm hearing is Monday possibility of things like a beard contest, a style show, if we're going to have any kind of a pageant queen. Do we want a pageant queen that is like a high schooler, or would we want a pageant queen who is a little guy, little type?
Whoever enters is fair game for the winning.
Oh, all ages. Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, all ages.
Yeah, we've got pictures of, there are pumpkin queens that were, there's one girl, Stromey, you know, you remember Carrie Stromey? Probably his, might have been his mother. Zelda, she was like 12 or something, she was a queen. And there was another lady that was Dr. Alambaugh's wife, you know, so it was all ages.
All ages, okay, well.
From year to year.
Yeah, that's great.
It's really smart to do that at the beginning and then have them officiate. Then you don't have to do all the officiating.
Well, I'm not planning on it, so.
There you go.
And then on Sunday, we'll have the churches, hopefully, do their thing. So all we have to, and then on Saturday will be the reverse parade. And now we just have to, if there's a, I don't know when the schedule for next year for sports for, it's too early now for the high schools to come out. But, you know, if it so happens, there's a whole football game Friday night.
When I was coaching for the high school, I got our schedule about 3 days before practice started.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get them a little bit earlier than that now, OSA, but not quite.
Didn't somebody bring up a universal high school reunion kind of deal? Or have homecoming?
Oh, no, that's...
Have homecoming for everybody?
For Friday night, and if there was a football game, it would be perfect.
I can almost guarantee you there'll be a football game, whether it's home or not, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be something.
Okay, so Friday night,
That could be your day to encourage to shop local, eat local, stay for the local football game.
Yeah.
Shop local.
So just call the superintendent of the school and say, on that weekend, you have to have a home game.
Okay.
You're required to have a home game.
Oh, yeah, we're about to invite the town.
I'm sorry, OSA.
Somebody brought up last month here, I think it came out of a discussion that we had all the annuals, remember that? Have some kind of event that's open to any graduate of any year. It's incredible, some kind of homecoming barbecue or dance or reunion kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea because, I mean, they normally on homecoming, whether you're talking high school or college, all alumni are invited back.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great thing for the school to volunteer to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The night, Friday night, you know, if they could manage to have their football game on that night, they could even make it a homecoming game if they can.
Yeah.
I don't know how difficult that is to work around with the district and the other schools, but...
So what I'm hearing is, I'm sorry, I interrupted, I'm sorry.
No, you didn't hear me volunteering.
So Friday night, hopefully have this, that kind of be the day that the schools take over, but we also maybe could do a shop local and eat local day, or do we want to do that a different day?
I think if you do it on that Friday, it draws people to town to stay here for that type of an event, if they have a home football game. That's that's the kicker in this whole thing.
Yeah, I'd love for the schools to be involved. I think that would be...
That might even be worth, if they can't make the game happen that night, that might even be worth shifting this a week.
Oh, yeah, make sure that it is?
Make sure it's a home game.
How is that decided, do you know?
It depends on who they played this year at that time.
Oh, okay.
Because then what happens is you shift one game, and then you play opposite of wherever you played.
Yeah.
And somebody actually keeps track of all that?
It's a very mysterious issue.
Oh, yeah, OSA keeps track of it.
So if you were to start with somebody like Marist this year and end with Elmira, then Marist would go second, Elmira would roll to the front.
And then is it home, away, home, away, or?
Not always.
No, not always.
Okay. Yeah, it just depends on how your schedule landed. Like if you played 3 away games in a row, you got 3 home games in a row the next year.
Okay.
And if people vary from that, terrible things happen.
Apparently, I didn't even know all that.
It's all based on superstition. So. No one's ever violated it to see what happens, but something terrible would happen, right?
Yeah. The thing is that normally those schedules don't come out soon enough for us to be able to all the planning for the birthday celebration will need to be done.
I'll bet you the school will have a decent idea.
Yeah.
Craig's been doing this a long time. He'll have a decent idea of what they play, who they play, and when they play.
Well, the university, those come out plenty early enough.
Yeah.
They will know right now pretty much like what might happen on those weekends. But we're not going to worry about them because they aren't here in Junction City. So. I know a couple people that are on the OSA board. I'll give them a call and see if I could find out anything about that. And Craig.
Yeah, Craig will have a good idea. He's been doing this for 100 years.
Do you want to?
He was a basketball coach when I was in school. How's that?
Would you mind calling Craig and finding out from him and let me know? So otherwise I won't bother the people I know at OSAA.
Yeah,
so.
I can shoot him a text and see if he has an idea.
I would appreciate that.
What day is it?
Something I recall from that wasn't captured in the minutes as I read them was that I think somebody named the mayor volunteered to, well, your Monday night would be when you'd bring in your dignitaries, whatever you can attract. And I might have volunteered to contact like the Historical Society last year had the Finnish consul from Portland.
Yes.
We can get
get
a Scandinavian ambassador or two, or definitely get Senator Manning, who spent some of his money here. You know, just some dignitaries.
Yeah, to open it up.
Historically.
To open the festival.
We have a lot of history on that. We've had, you know, in the old days, they would have the 4th of July here, and they would have dignitaries giving oratory, you know.
Yeah.
Theodore Roosevelt has stopped here on the train, right here on Front Street.
Yes.
McKinley.
Yeah.
Not Steve. President McKinley.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So you could have that on your Monday night.
You know, yeah, and they could be here when we crown the pumpkin queen.
Or if your opening ceremonies are extensive enough, you could have that. You could start on one Sunday afternoon, you know, and go a whole week. I don't know. You'd have to come up here 2 weekends in a row.
See, it's so far.
Anyway.
So started on a Sunday afternoon and then ended on a Sunday. How does the rest of the committee feel about that?
Well, I just mean if you get enough stuff, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we got to figure out how much stuff we have before we can make that decision.
Okay.
I think that's where we're at. Not a lot of stuff.
So go back to the drawing board. Does anyone have anything else to add, questions, whatever, comments?
I think we should probably work on the sign-up sheet or the registration or whatever we want to call it for the parade.
Okay.
And then maybe have a closing date so we know, and then we can have a few meetings to prepare for what we have.
Okay.
So I think if we get that flyer and we can have it available to people.
Okay. So would you like to volunteer to do some sort of a sign-up sheet or at least something that we can all look at? And...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll
thank you.
Try to put something
and
you have one, right, Rick?
We have one for the light parade if you want to sample it or something like that.
Well, I was just thinking that you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
That way you can just modify his.
Yeah, good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
Sure.
Or Corey Lucas.
I was just going to say, that's what I was going to do is reach out to Corey.
Yeah.
But
either one, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
If you reach out to somebody that's already made one, then you just have to modify it. Just have them give it to you in a Word program and then modify
just go
it.
Go for it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pledgerize it.
Yeah, there we go.
No reason to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah,
they did that 150 years ago, apparently.
Yeah.
Right. They have the wheel.
Speaking of starting, instead of starting on a Monday evening, starting the Sunday afternoon and then ending it the following Sunday by letting the churches do, you know, that take care of that day. But that way you could have your dignitaries there and actually open the, do kind of like an opening ceremony. And then maybe do the, if we're gonna have a queen, have them crowned as a queen and stuff. And like say that would just be the opening of the ceremony and then have it follow through on Monday evening and, you know, the rest of the week. That way, I was thinking about if we get dignitaries, if we get people here, it might, that might be easier to do it in daytime on a Sunday afternoon rather than trying to do it on like a Monday evening or something. You know, listening to it, all of the comments and stuff. So what do y'all think about that? And then we'll...
I think it's something we can think about. I kind of would like to see what for sure we get in place, you know, that we have.
Okay. Craig said he won't know till December.
Okay. I thought it was a little early, but that's even earlier. I was thinking...
Well, they're switching leagues again. They're changing all the leagues up again next year.
I feel like OSA, the board doesn't have enough to do to keep... Yeah, anyway. Well, enrollments keep changing, too. That doesn't help. Okay, well, does anyone have anything else that you'd like to bring up or discuss or...
Just the date of our next meeting.
Yep, so when do y'all want to... I think we need to have it once a month, so it's up to y'all.
Well, I'm in 2022, so let me get back to the reality here.
Do we have any committees, other committees on Thursdays?
Yeah, we have, at the last Thursday of the month, we...
There is a committee. Okay, yeah. So anything but this Thursday's work for both of you guys?
Well, you don't want to do the 11th, that's Veterans Day.
Right.
Right.
And the 25th is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so we can't...
You're not going to have a committee meeting that day, I guarantee. Yeah. And I won't be here that day, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Me too.
So maybe switch to a different day.
Well, you could do the 18th.
Do the third one.
The 18th? Okay.
I can do that.
But that's not going to be a committee meeting, right?
There's no meeting.
There's no...
I don't think so.
As far as the city goes, no.
Okay,
18th
sounds good.
Okay, so the other thing that I need, do you like this agenda the way it's written, Bev? Do you want a different agenda?
If you're doing it, I think it's great. Does anyone have any objections to the agenda?
I mean, if there's something specific you want on the agenda outside of what I've already got.
I think maybe we can have each member of the... committee, you know, but I don't know whether that's at, because we go around the table anyway.
Yeah, and so I've got introductions of any new attendees on here.
Yeah.
And then a recap from you.
Yeah.
And then any other ideas for the 150, which eventually that probably will change to organization of the events.
Yeah. So. I think at this stage we need to...
Okay, well I'll keep the agenda, like this, and Kitty will do the minutes for the meeting, then we'll get that out
okay.
The Friday before. Get that out on the 12th, so everybody has okay. It for enough time to go through the minutes.
Yeah, that would be great. And if the chamber could, and I would assume maybe you have, but if you haven't, any communications that you send out, if you could, you know, make sure you put in there about that we are going to be celebrating
okay.
It and the weekend and that we would like the community's input and participation in it.
Okay, we can start doing
yeah.
That.
That we are going and put in the things that's going to be non-commercial and local, but we want to include, you know, organizations and schools and the fire department, you know, all the ones that are going to be part of it.
Right.
But we would, and you can put my phone numbers in there if you want to. And if anyone else wants to volunteer theirs, you know, if someone has suggestions, questions, whatever. So that you're not stuck with all of them.
Just something there. Not okay. A problem.
I'm finding out right now when the next school board meeting is.
Uh-huh.
Might be
the 18th.
Might be the 18th. I was going to say maybe I could go into one of the school board meetings if we don't hear from anybody and just address the whole school board. And just kind of say, hey, we have this, we'd like to know if you'd like to volunteer. Here's the date of our next meeting, we would love to have school participation in it. And just leave it simple like that, and then I'll make a quick exit.
And in the meantime, I will converse more with the fire department, and I will go across the street and pin down the superintendent. I think he's got his hands full coming in, the new superintendent. At least find out who he might consider appointing if, you know, he feels like he can't with his busy schedule. And I will, would someone like to check as far as the, who was it somebody was going to check? Because Gordon apparently maybe has some health problems.
Oh, I will.
Okay, thank you, appreciate it. And is there anything else?
Just that when I talked to Jeff Kern, I think I'm going to have to route him to community development. And you're the chair, aren't you? Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry, I missed that one.
Funding for banners would go through community development.
Okay.
That's Gary.
Have him reach out to me, and Dean come talk with me about it, and I can get it on Andrea's agenda, and we can go from there. That's easy enough.
I think just one other comment to your school board, trapping people at the school board meeting. It may be the school board members, a couple of them catch fire on it and have more time than the superintendent.
Yes.
Well, we know somebody on that school board.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's somebody's last name sounds right.
I just texted him to find out when the next school board.
And he would definitely enter a contest for the best beer.
Yeah, oh, he would.
Oh, that's right. Guaranteed. Him and his brother, probably.
All four of them, probably. But I think they would also, if just that group of synagogues spread the word for the parade and floats,
Ryan, I think, is still involved with the Lions Club also.
He is, right.
Well, that's, you know, getting the word out is going to be our biggest challenge, and so, yeah.
You guys came up with such a perfect idea for that street fair. I think that's really going to catch fire.
Well, that was your, too. You have to take some credit on that.
I just said the other routes were going to fail.
So when I talk to the fire department, the touch a truck night, if they have any questions, they can.
Yeah, just have Brandon call me, we'll figure it out. When we get closer to that, we know what that day looks like, what day it is. Then I'll reach out to Bob, I'll reach out to Brandon, see what they have available to put into that. And then I may even reach out to Lane County, see if I can get them to bring their bomb squad stuff out here.
If they bring Reva and some of their armored
vehicles. They just did one at Jerry's where they brought their robot out and showed them. So, I mean.
That would, yeah.
If we can reach out to them and have them bring some of that stuff. Because, you know, I mean, our stuff's cool, but you talk about bomb squad stuff.
Yeah.
Kids love robots.
Oh, I wonder if the police department could get some of the dogs, the canine unit. Because that's always something.
Yeah, it's something I could reach out to. I mean, I could always stop by Chuck's house and go, hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
What you doing? How would you like to do this for me?
Does he still have a dog? I don't know.
I don't think he's got a dog anymore, but.
I don't think he does. Yeah. At least he's retired, but I don't know if they still have the dog.
I don't know either. His dog was getting pretty old.
It was. But, yeah.
We know enough farmers around here that if we don't have enough vehicles, I can always reach out to them and have them bring tractors or whatever.
I think bringing in the farm community is important because that, you know, is what the basis was 150 years ago, when everyone raised their own everything and had animals and stuff.
And if you can, if you all can fund gravel or get, I hate to say the word donations these days, but. Another context, you can get that prospective parking lot graveled out there off High Pass, you know, and have that field open. You have a big field for basically a county fair kind of farm animals, farm vehicle display out there if it gets that popular.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Be a way to get people thinking in that direction.
Yeah.
Who knows, this might turn into a yearly thing that would they celebrate the city, you know, once a year, but.
We have our 150th every year.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just add a number to it.
39th every year.
Yeah, I could even get the, I know, because I have some cool, you know, one of the events where everybody can turn out all their stuff that they've been hiding that is bad for the environment. Event from, you know, the county does.
Like a hard copy?
Oh, nothing.
And they haven't had one here in a long time.
At least have a hard copy to.
Because of COVID and stuff, but, you know, I mean, that's something else that could.
Destroy it.
Yeah. Hazardous waste roundup.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all so much.
I'll get the.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Oh, here. Here's your.
Have a good night.
Just said, I'll take care of it. Have a good one.
If you're the Miss Slick.
Yeah, thank you all for your time.
Yeah.